I'm Michael Smith.
And I'm Chuck Osborne.
And welcome to the Iron Capital Podcast,
where we break down investment stuff with anecdotes and stories that non-financial geeks can understand.
Hey, this is Michael.
And this is Chuck.
It's Wednesday, May 8th, 2024. This is the 11th episode of the Iron Capital Podcast.
Woohoo!
So let's get to it, Chuck. What is on your mind?
Budgeting. Living within your means is on my mind, Michael. So we talked about this subject, and it brought to mind a story from my youth when I was in school. I was home for break. I think it was over Christmas break. And a good friend of mine from school was down visiting his father, who lived in Fort Lauderdale, close to my parents in South Florida. And so we got together for a day while we were both down there. And his father was a doctor. His stepmom was a real estate agent. And they lived in this big house in Fort Lauderdale, right on the water on a canal. They had a boat in the back. They drove fancy cars. I think his father had a Jaguar, if I remember correctly. And when we were hanging out at the house, his father came in and said, hey boys, I'll take you out to dinner tonight. And he goes away and then comes back a few minutes later and then says, I tell you what, I thought about it. Instead of going out to dinner, why don't we just cook out something here? And, you know, I didn't even think anything about it. I mean, I was perfectly happy cooking out at their house. It was a great house. But then my friend got kind of upset about it, and I was like, well, you know, what's the problem? I mean, I don't have a problem staying here. And he said, my dad just went and looked, and he doesn't have the money to take us out to dinner. And a few hours passed, and the stepmom comes home from work, and she sold a house that day. And so the father comes out and says, we're going out to dinner, you know, and it made me realize, and this is a cliche in our business, but, you know, if you make $1 million a year and you spend $1 million a year, you are not a millionaire. You're broke.
Yep.
And that is, you know, it's a cliche. I think people, you know, talk about it, but that real story really brought that home to me. Here are these people, huge amount of income. Dual income, living what it, on the outside looks like the dream with the big house, all the stuff, and they're broke. They're living from paycheck to paycheck. And, you know, and so that is what brought into mind the fact that, you know, no matter where you are in your economic journey, you got to live within your means. You have to have a budget.
Yeah. Well, this is going to be the first part of a series on how to get started with investing, do-it-yourself investing. You know, most people wouldn't think in their mind when they're first thinking about it that first step on that is budgeting, right? Because if you don't actually have savings and have money coming in that you're saving and not spending, then you don't have anything to invest, right?
No, that is absolutely right. And I remember another story going back of a friend of mine talking about needing to have a bucket of money to invest. And the thing is that he was making good income, but he just didn't ever had a bucket of money. And I was like, well, how do you fill a bucket up? One drip at a time.
Yeah.
And it really does start with living within your means. And for most people, that's going to involve creating some kind of a budget.
Yeah. Well, let's just get started and talk about how one goes about doing that.
Sure. Well, the first step is really tracking what you tracking what you spend. our younger viewers or listeners won't remember this or even know what I'm talking about. But for those of us that used to actually get these things called checks when we opened up a bank account and actually used to write paper checks to pay bills and so forth, with every checkbook, there was this ledger that came with it. And you would write down, you know, what the check was for, how much it was for. And that simple practice of actually knowing where your money's going is very important for you to then establish kind of, you know, how are you actually spending the money. Another way to put that, and I had a friend who spent a career in the military, but he used to say, if you ever want to improve something, you have to measure it. And so that is step one. Step one is kind of knowing where your money is going, and then you can start to figure that out. And then once you create that budget, you know where your money's going. So you know how much you're spending for housing, you know how much you're spending for your monthly bills, your utilities, so for all your fixed costs, you have a good idea of your estimate of realistically what you're spending for entertainment, for dinners out, you know, stuff you do with friends, how much you're going to spend for a vacation, you know, in any given year, all of those things. You figure that out. And the one thing you're looking for in that is how much you can actually afford to set aside to do what we call pay yourself first. Mm-hmm. And that really is the most important thing in the budget. And I used to recommend to a lot of people back in the day, and this is what I did, is once that budget was created and I knew, okay, I could put X amount of dollars away in savings and investing every month, then that's all I needed. I just, you know, I didn't need to, review the budget mm-hmm. any further. You put that money aside first before you do anything else, and then you just live on what was left. Now, that worked for me. It will work for some people. Some people need more help and more discipline than that. That they may have to keep a tighter rein on what their budget is. It just depends on your personality.
Yep.
But the bottom line is to put money aside for yourself, for your future, and then, you know, live on what's left and don't spend any more than that.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, if you go out and do a lot of, you know, searches on how to create budgets, you see kind of a lot of the same ideas where, you know, this idea that you see a lot is this 50-30-20 rule, which is just, it's ubiquitous out there. And it's the idea of 50% goes to your fixed needs, 30% goes to whatever you want, and 20% goes to investing or financial well-being, however you want to think about that. I think that's an extremely difficult way for a lot of people to think about how to budget. But why don't you talk about a little bit about some of the problems with these kind of rules of thumb in that way?
Sure. Well, the problem is that it's one size fits all. And one size does not fit all because every person may have a different, you know, priority list to what's important to them. If you're making choices in your budget, you've got to, and budgeting is going to involve sacrifice.
Choices and sacrifice.
Right. You're going to have to make choices. You're going to have to sacrifice. There are certain things you're not going to do. And so you have to decide perhaps what's more important to you. So instead of going to dinner and a movie, you might have to decide, okay, well, what's more important? Is it seeing the movie or is it going to dinner? And that may be a different answer for different people. You know, some people prefer to spend their money on events and experiences. And some people want to spend that money on food and dinners. And, you know, that's a big thing for them. It all depends on their personality. The other problem with that is, say 50% goes to your fixed needs. Well, the biggest part of your fixed need is probably your housing, mm-hmm. you know, whether you're renting or whether you have a mortgage, that's probably the biggest chunk. Well, what happens when your income grows? Do you just have to buy a bigger house because you now make more money?
You always have to have that 50%, right?
You always have to put 50% to that. I've known people who toward the end of their careers were living on less than 50% of what they made total. You know, and the reason they were doing that is not because they were misers or penny pinchers. It was because they got to a certain level where this was their standard of living, and they were comfortable there, and they just kept their standard of living right where it was. And as they progressed in their career and they made more money and more money, they didn't increase their expenses. They just kept living the same life.
Yep.
And by the time they were, you know, a year or two from retirement, their income was dramatically more than they actually needed. And what that does for them is that these are the people that are retire successfully. They're the ones who actually have peace of mind, and they're actually building wealth. So at some point, what I would say is that, and fairly early in your career, probably by the time you're in your 30s or maybe certainly about maybe early 40s, you hopefully have a lifestyle that you're very comfortable with. That should be the lifestyle for the rest of your life. You know, just because you're making more money does not mean you have to spend it. And there are other uses for that money, and it's not going to buy you happiness. You know,
That's a fact.
You know, people who have this idea that we want to continue to get a bigger house, a bigger house, a bigger house. Let me tell you something. I don't care how big your house is. You're going to live in three rooms. All right. You got your bedroom, your kitchen, and whatever room you hang out in, your den. For us, it's a den in our house. Those are the three rooms that you are going to spend the vast majority of your life. The rest of your house is only going to be used when you have company or throw a party. And how many of those are you really going to do in a year? So I just don't think that those rules of thumb apply. I think budgeting is something that each individual has to come up with their own
It's very personal
ideas and their own personal impact. And, you know, and the other thing that's not even in there is what about charity? What are you doing for charity?
Yeah, charity's not even
And so and that's very important to me. I think it's a lot of important. Mm-hmm. It's important to a lot of people, especially people of faith. They want to tithe and give back.
Yeah.
And so that I don't think there's any one rule of thumb that works for anybody.
Yeah, so there's a lot of different ways to think about this. I guess one thing I'd like to talk about is what do you see as some of the biggest missteps that tend to happen when we see these budgets and what happens?
Yeah, so where do people really fall short on the budget once they start trying to actually budget? To me, there's two big errors that I see in budgeting. And the first error is what I'm going to call the silo error. You know, what happens is they create the budget. And so they have a budget for, let's say, vacation. And let's just, for the sake of argument, we'll say you budget $2,000 for your vacation. And then they also have a budget for, you know, kind of weekly entertainment or going out to eat. They have a budget, obviously, for their, you know, their rent or the mortgage payment, their car payment, and, you know, all the fixed costs. Mm-hmm. All of these things are in different silos. Well, what happens if, you forgot to budget a car repair and your car has to go into the shop, and you've got a $500 bill to pay for that, you know, car repair. What happens with a lot of people when they've created these budgets, mentally they're thinking to themselves, well, I still have that $2,000 that I budgeted for my vacation.
And I can pull from that.
I can still go on that that vacation. Yeah. And no,
that's
you can't.
Right. That's right, yeah.
You can't, because you do have to pull from that. Yeah. Or you have to pull from somewhere.
You have to pull from something.
Right. If you have a $500 expense that was not budgeted, mm-hmm. that money has to be pulled from all your different other areas of the budget, because the budget is not different buckets of money.
Yeah.
It is just a way of categorizing the one bucket of money that you actually have.
Yep.
And, you know, you have to stay within your means and total. And so so that, to me, is one of the biggest mistakes I've seen with people that really struggle with the budget, is that they create the budget and then in their mind, it, you know, going over in one area does not impact other areas.
Yeah.
And that can't happen. So that is one of the mistakes. The other mistake that I'll make is what I refer to as the Costco mistake. And don't get me wrong, I love Costco. My family, we have been members at Costco for, you know, as long as there's been one in Atlanta, I believe. We got a lot of stuff from Costco. The problem with Costco is you go there and you save money on everything, and you don't ever leave without spending at least $300.
Yep.
And now you come home and you've got a lifetime supply of toilet paper, and you know that's going to last forever. And if you take it down, you know, per square of toilet paper, you've saved a lot of money. But the thing is, when you spend $300 on toilet paper, you know, in the, as part of your grocery budget for the month, now all of a sudden that's a major hit to most people's grocery budget for the month.
Well, because budgeting is about cash flow.
It is. It's all about cash flow. And this is one of the things that, you know, comes from business. A lot of people don't understand this. Most companies who go out of business, the last set of financials that they run actually show a profit for the year. And that sounds counterintuitive to most people because you're thinking, how can a profitable
How could you go under if you were making a profit?
Right. Well, they may have made a profit in the end, but it's all about cash flow. The bills have to come in as the income is coming in. And so a lot of people get so caught up in, well, I'm saving this amount of money. Look how cheap this meat is, or look how cheap this toilet paper is, or all this stuff, and we're going to buy it in bulk. And then what they don't understand is, yes, you're saving money in the total, perhaps by the end of the year, but you blew your budget for this month, and now you're going to go into debt this month because you don't have the cash to pay for it, and that puts you in a hole, and then it becomes...
It's a cycle.
And so you've got to base your budget based on your cash flow. And most people get paid usually like twice a month, and so you've got to figure out a realistic budget for them. That doesn't mean you can't shop at Costco, but you still have to watch what is the total that I'm spending. Or as, you know, my mother used to do when she would go shopping for clothes and whatnot. My dad would come home from work and she would say, come see how much money I saved you. You never save money by spending, you know, and that's, you know, you only save money by not spending. So those are the two big mistakes.
I think the last thing I would think here to talk about here is tools, and to how someone should go about thinking about, because there's so many tools out there now. With budgeting and implementing that, recording that.
Well, things have gotten a lot easier for folks, and some of the tools that are out there are you know, are really great. Now, there's no reason to not go the old-fashioned route. You know, again, the old checkbook ledger works. You can certainly do this on paper
if you still use Excel
if you want to. I still use Excel as well, but I'm very comfortable using Excel. I use it, you know, we use it
daily,
every day. But now there are a lot of great apps out there. And, you know, we're not going to endorse any one particular app, but there's a lot of great budgeting apps out there, which can definitely help people put things together. And the great thing is, you know, nowadays, when everyone's got their smartphone with them all the time, it makes it much easier to record what you're spending.
I think the big thing here is there's no magic in this, though. There's no magic app. There's no app that makes you have a great budget or makes you balance your spending, right? It's you. And you can do it on a piece of paper. You can do it on an app. You can do it however you want to. At the end of the day, it's very simple. You've got to spend less than... than you bring in.
It still boils down to having the discipline to do it and realize that you do have to make choices. I don't care, you know, who our listeners are. For everyone, including even the U.S. government, finances are scarce, and there is a ultimately a finite number of, you know, that you have to live within, and you've got to do that. And just like the story that we started with, you know, if you have problems living within your means, you're going to have problems living within your means, no matter how much money you
make. How many NBA players have we seen blow through $100 million?
And, right.
You know, it doesn't matter how much you make.
It isn't about how much you make. It's about how much you keep. And the and so it really does boil down to discipline. The tools just allow you to do that. I will go, and I'll kind of finish with you know, my friend's comment. He's absolutely right. If you're going to improve something in your life, you have to measure it. And being aware really helps with the discipline. So if you are measuring it, if you are tracking it using an app, using Excel, whatever works for you, then it will definitely help you be aware of what's happening. And that's like 90% of the battle.
That's it. Yeah. All right. Well, thanks, y'all. It was nice. Number 11 is
These things are fun.
That's right. Well, as always, let us know any comments, anything you'd like to hear about, and we'll be talking to you guys soon. Bye. Yeah.
Iron Capital Advisors is an independent registered investment advisory firm headquartered in Atlanta with clients nationwide. Learn more about us at ironcapitaladvisors.com. The Iron Capital Podcast is produced by Iron Capital Advisors. Our awesome original theme music was written and performed by Michael Smith and Leah Calvert. This content is for educational purposes only and should not be relied upon for investment decisions or advice. Clients and employees of Iron Capital may maintain positions in the securities discussed. Please like and subscribe to the Iron Capital Podcast on YouTube and wherever you listen to podcasts. Thanks for joining us. We'll be back with another episode soon.